Let us pray. Oh God, our Advent journey is nearly complete, and we thank you for being with us through this, and we ask that you would speak to us again in this time. Open us up, Lord, to your holy word, for we ask it in Christ's name.
Amen. Amen.
We're having a said service day, it goes so fast.
So this is where we're going to slow down.
And not having the music that stark contrast, I think that's good. Because we've been listening to Christmas music since Halloween. Now you're walking in the stores hearing it and saying things over and over and over. There's a, I don't know if you all have or use the Echo Dot, but Alexa, you can say, Alexa, play traditional Christmas carols. And it'll start playing. And you'll notice about 30 minutes later, and I heard that song just a few minutes. It's like the same things over and over and over and over. So I'm going to sing my sermon to you today. When God sent the angel Gabriel. I would not inflict that on you. But when God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, I mean, if you go to Nazareth today, it's a decent 60,000 people plus live there. Not so when Gabriel arrived. It's a little agricultural village, a little hamlet there, and they estimate from archaeological digs maybe 50 houses. 50 houses, less than 200 people on 6 acres of land. It was tiny, even by the standards at that day. It was an isolated place, way off the beaten path. And I can imagine that when Gabriel showed up, now I don't know if angels reason the way humans do, but had I been sent, I think the first thing that would have gone through my mind, this can't be right. something's not right here. Maybe I didn't hear God correctly. I'm in the middle of nowhere. And then he would have pulled out the GPS, the God positioning system. All angels carry one. Archangels carry the newest updated version. And he confirms his location and says, well, right over there, that tiny house, that's where Joachim and Anne live, and that's where Mary will be. They're peasants. You would think that you would have been sent to Jerusalem, at least, to Jerusalem and maybe give this message to the daughter of the high priest, because it is a powerfully profound request that God has in this message for a young girl. And if I'd been Gabriel, I'd been wondering, what will I do if she says no?
Well, thank you for your time.
Our gospel text today is the Annunciation. Unless you're in the NIV, where I think the heading says Jesus' birth foretold. Obviously, not written by a Roman Catholic. It's the Annunciation. It is one of the most well-known stories in all of Scripture. And think of all of the paintings and sculptures through history of this one moment. And I spent some time earlier this week flipping through them. I mean, you can look that up in Google and just, you know, look to your heart's content. And I was amazed that they all had one thing in common. The one thing they have in common is that in none of them does Mary look the least bit surprised. It's like she'd been sitting there all day waiting for this. She doesn't look surprised. She doesn't look alarmed. And she is in the presence of an archangel giving her a message. And I don't know about you, but when somebody says, don't be afraid, that makes me more scared. You mean there's something I'm supposed to be afraid of? Ah. She always looks so serene. Like, this is the kind of thing that happens every day. And of course, we know it's not. It is a powerfully profound message. Mary, you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob and his descendants. Kingdom will never end. How can this be? Mary asked. Since I am a virgin, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. We've heard that message so many times. It doesn't sound unusual. We expect it. Mary was not expecting that message. Gabriel told her that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that God Almighty, the creator of the entire universe, the God of the prophets and patriarchs, is going to come into the world through her. And amazingly, Mary said, yes. I am the Lord's servant. May your word be fulfilled in me. Now tonight, when you come back, and if you don't, we know where you live. Tonight, we will celebrate the birth of Christ in Bethlehem, and we're all going to marvel and reflect in the music and in the preaching and in the word and in the sacrament this great miracle of the incarnation, the greatest miracle of all. God in human flesh, Emmanuel, God with us. But the miracle of the incarnation began 9 months before what we celebrate tonight. It began in this story. Begins with Mary's yes. The 25th of March is the Feast of the Annunciation. And that is the beginning of the incarnation. And tonight, the incarnation will be fully presented in Bethlehem 9 months later. And we will marvel in that story. We all love to see Madonna and child and sing about it, though not in this service. We'll hail, hail, the word made flesh, the babe, the son of Mary. The word made flesh. It's the fulfillment and the culmination of the incarnation. But it did begin with Mary's yes. Now, Protestants, for the most part, really chafe at the title Mother of God. Most will say Mary, the mother of our Lord Jesus. They won't say Mary, the mother of God. It's because it sounds like, to the ears of most Protestants, and I think this is because people use what I call Godspeak. They talk, when they make reference to the Trinity, they just say the generic God, this God, that's God. God told me to do this. God told me to do that. I've talked to God about it. When someone says Mother of God, in our mind, that's elevating Mary like to the status of a goddess, in that she would be giving birth to the Godhead, to the Holy Trinity. That can't be right. But when you say Mother of God, it's, yes, it is about Mary, but it has much more to do with her son. It has to do with the divinity of her son, Jesus. My favorite part of the Christmas story isn't in Matthew or Luke. It's in John. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us, and we have seen His glory, the glory of an only Son coming from the Father. The Word was God. The Word was with God. The Word was God. Jesus is God. And the title, Mother of God, which was never, ever meant to imply that Mary is the mother of the Godhead. Never, ever meant to imply that she's the mother of the Holy Trinity. The church settled on that title in 431. People say, oh, that's a Roman Catholic title. Well, there was only one church
in 431.
There weren't Catholics and Protestants. There were Christians. And in 431, in Ephesus, they gave her the title Theotokos, God-bearer, God-birther. She's the one who brings God into the world. That translates into English, Mother of God. Mary is the Mother of God in terms of this incarnation. And I did read something. I'm going to adopt this. Some theologians, Catholic and Protestant, are suggesting that we refer to her as Mary, the Mother of God incarnate. Can't go wrong with that. Mary, the Mother of God incarnate. But our gospel lesson today on this fourth Sunday of Advent wasn't given to us so that we could have a theological disputation about all of the titles of Mary. As much fun as that is. And I'll have to tell you, this happened a couple of years ago. We're putting away Christmas, you know, that depressing part of Christmas. Putting all that stuff away. We're putting the nativity away. And Belinda's putting the things in the slots where I had labeled them. And she looked up and she said, what does BBM mean? What's BBM? And I said, it's Blessed Virgin Mary, you stupid Protestant. So that's our big joke in the house now. The Blessed Virgin Mary. But that's not why this lesson's here today, and it's not here to give us a jump start on that sentimentality that we feel every Christmas when we look at Mary and the babe. And I always thought, it's interesting, in the Magnificat, when Mary visits Elizabeth and says, henceforth all generations will call me blessed, except for the Protestants. No, they're not going to use that, but everybody else will. And I wanted to say that, you know, that I know. It makes me want to come up here, too.
She can crawl around all she wants.
Now, you can get that jump start on the sentimentality just by shopping, listening to the music. That's not what it's about. And the lesson's also not here to have us engage in a full discussion about the incarnation of Jesus Christ. That is before us every day as Christians. Every day, when you say, The Apostles' Creed. Please tell me that you do. You say, I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. That's the incarnation in a nutshell. Sunday, when we use the Nicene Creed, it's a bigger nutshell. Who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary and was made man. Pretty specific. You got more energy.
It's dying.
What did we do?
You briefly disappeared.
Look, you're back.
Oh, okay.
You're back.
I look better in black. But the incarnation of God in Christ Jesus is constantly before us, and that's as it should be. And tonight, it will be even more before us as we celebrate that. That's what Christmas is about. Yes, it's a season when people are supposed to be nice to each other, filled with Christmas cheer. But it is a celebration of the incarnation. But what I'd like for us to focus on this fourth Sunday of Advent, something else about Mary, and we mentioned it earlier, the yes. The yes of Mary. Theologians and scholars refer to Mary as a model disciple. And let's look at this story that way. Mary was called to bear Christ to the world. And what Mary was called to do physically, you and I are called to do spiritually. To bear Christ to the world. And like Mary, God has called each one of us. And we've said yes. That's why we're sitting here now. And that's why I know you're going to come back tonight. You said yes. And like Mary, in that yes, the Holy Spirit came upon us. And the one who is within us is holy. By the power of the Holy Spirit, we have Jesus Christ within us. Like Mary, you and I are called to be, in a sense, Theotokos, to bear, to birth Christ into the world for others. Mary didn't do any of that by her own power. It was the power of the Holy Spirit. We don't bear the incarnate word to the world by our own power, but we do it by the power of the Spirit. So what I wanted to ask you to do on this fourth Sunday of Advent is to say yes. Say yes to the call of God. I want you to say yes every day to the call of God. That just as Mary's yes opened the way for God incarnate to come into the world, by your yes, God can continually come into the world. You are amazing. I think even when I was in the Army and we had to crawl, it was exhausting. I don't think there was a time in my life I could do what you're doing.
I was remembering when her mother used to do that.
Yay. Did you see what she did when you said that? She did this. She held up her thumb. All right. What each of us should do every day is to make the yes of Mary our own. That daily we should say, I'm the Lord's servant. I am the Lord's servant today.
may your word to me be fulfilled. Amen.
Amen. Amen.